Our special focus on left, right and center this weekend. Well, dynasty politics is back in the spotlight with Uday Nidhi Stalin's elevation as the Deputy Chief Minister. This was long expected, but this has triggered sharp responses from the BJP and the AIADMK. They say that the first family of the DMK has yet again indulged in dynasty politics. Well, it's not just about the DMK, but this is something that runs across political parties. But before I introduce my guests on this topic, let's take a look at how the events panned out. Well, while the ministers took oath, Uday Nidhi Stalin, who's already a minister, was in the spotlight with the son being a dutiful deputy to the chief minister. Take a look.
Tamil Nadu's sports minister Uday Nidhi Stalin elevated as deputy chief minister in his father M.K. Stalin's cabinet. His portfolio made meaty, adding planning and development to his sports and youth welfare already in his kitty. DMK leader Senthil Balaji too, back in the cabinet, 3 days after he walked out of jail. He spent 15 months in jail in a money laundering case before the Supreme Court granted him bail. Senthil Balaji is back as the electricity minister with an addition of the excise and prohibition portfolio. Uday Nidhi Stalin, a first-time MLA and former actor, superseded several veteran leaders in the cabinet to become his father Stalin's deputy. The move, DMK sources say, equips the party to take on popular star actor Vijay with a huge fan following, who's set to make his electoral debut in 2026 elections in Tamil Nadu. The key opposition, AIADMK, calls this dynastic politics.
The elevation of Prince Uday Nidhi as Deputy Chief Minister signals and marks the end of DMK in Tamil Nadu going forward. The upcoming Assembly 2026, DMK is all set to split into different factions with couple of seniors going to revolt against this decision. This is a clear example of dynastool in the name of democracy.
DMK sources reject criticism on dynastic politics. They argue Uday Nidhi was democratically elected as MLA and his campaign played a key role in the DMK alliance's sweep in 2019 and 2024 Lok Sabha elections. Besides the party's return to power in the state after a decade, he, they argue, had also strengthened the party's youth wing, besides making Chennai an international sporting hub from chess Olympiad to Formula 4 racing as sports minister. Unlike Karunanidhi, who had groomed his son M.K. Stalin to earn his leadership through the political grind as mayor, MLA, minister and deputy chief minister, Uday Nidhi Stalin's elevation is fast-tracked. The big question is, this social justice the party claims to stand for, or is it a mockery of democracy, keeping power within the family? In Chennai with Suresh, Sam Daniel, Find the TV.
So, well, the rise of the family in regional parties and regional politics is certainly something that has been debated for a long time now, and Uday Nidhi Stalin's elevation has put the focus back on family first when it comes to regional satraps, from the TMC, the DMK, the Congress, the PDP, the National Conference, the Sena, the NCP, of course the BJP as well, in some states. Families have turned into power centers. What does this really mean for our larger health of party democracy? Well, joining me on that, Shehzad Poonawalla, national spokesperson of the BJP. Also with me, Lakshmi Ramachandran, spokesperson of the Congress. Harish Mohammed Ibrahim, who's a DMK supporter, is with us as well. And Sandeep Shastri, director of academics at, and coordinator at Lok Niti, a well-known political analyst, is also with us. Let me go across to you first, Mr. Harish Mohammed Ibrahim. How do you respond to the BJP's charge that this, in a sense, is, you know, yet again dynastic politics, given the fact that Uday Nidhi Stalin has been elevated without necessarily having the merit that a deputy chief minister needs?
BJP, first of all, doesn't have any moral grounds to speak about dynasty politics, number one. Who is Mr. Devendra Fadnavis? Who is Mr. Rajnath Sikhsan, whether he is an MLA or not? Who is Mr. Jyotiraditya Scintia? Who is Mr. Piyush Goyal? If we can speak about dynasty politics in BJP, then we have to go on and on. And first of all, even though it is not a constitutional body, who is the BCCI chairman? Who made as an ICC chairman? Whether he has touched any single ball or bat in his entire life? Whether he has been a contributor to the cricket in his entire life? No. So don't come with the moral grounds or speak about the dynasty politics, number one. And number two, when it comes to Mr. Udayanidhi Stalin, he has been there in the grassroots politics right from his age of 10. He has been there along with the people of Tamil Nadu through thick and thin. And number three, he has been elected by the member of the state government people with thumping majority of over 67,000 lakh votes. And number four, he has not been elevated as a minister on a single day broad light. He has been given a portfolio like sports ministry and the special planning commission through a special planning development. And he has proved his remarkable journey in this last 3 years, which made him as an elevated to be just to be fit and not in a constitutional. It is not a constitutional position. Deputy CM is not a constitutional position where these people are making a mockery at. And it is a position where he can be of help to the CM through his special planning development, which the most of the teams which is running in the government is through the special planning development ministry. And he is doing a remarkable thing. And okay. Number four, he has made sure, one minute. He has made sure the central government, the union government, rattled with his one single brick returning as an aims, which make sure that entire union ministry under his toes. Number five.
Okay.
He made sure Madam Nirmala Sitharaman to understand how the GST tax evasion has been happening between the state and the union. He made sure her to go on her knees, understanding that the state can't refuse any kind of GST evasion from Tamil Nadu. And he made sure his political journey...
Let me get Shehzad Poonawalla to respond to that. Shehzad, what do you have to say on what the DMK supporter is saying? That he has proven his mettle as an administrator, given the fact that he was a minister in the cabinet. But also, what he says about the BJP, because the BJP's Parivarvad problem, as it were, is very interesting, because now you have the family of all non-Gandhi former prime ministers and chief ministers now in the BJP.
Thank you, Vedant. And I hope that Mr. Ibrahim will be as courteous to me as I was to him and listen to my entire submission. First of all, let me define for your viewers what exactly is dynasty or Parivarvad. Vedant, you're a wonderful anchor. Your sons and daughters may want to come in the media. They might even want to work with NDTV. Nobody can stop them. The constitution allows them that. But tomorrow, if Vedant says that I am anchoring 9 PM show, after that my son will anchor, after that his son will anchor, that is Parivarvad or dynasty politics. And let me give you a live example of this. You have the Congress party. In the last 50 years, 40 years has been ruled by one Parivar, and even in government, Prime Minister, one Parivar. DMK, right from 1971 to 2024, one family at the helm of affairs in the party, one family gets to become chief minister. PDP, same thing. NC, same thing. SP, same thing. RJD, same thing. TMC, same thing. Now come to BJP. 1980s, we were formed. Our presidents, Vajpayee, Advani, Joshi, Kushabrao Thakre, Janakrishna Murthy, Naidu, Advani, Rajnath, Gadkari, Amit Shah, Nadda. Nobody's son, nobody's daughter, next president, we don't know who will become, but certainly not Nadda's son, certainly not Amit Shah's son. So this is the fundamental difference. Even Prime Minister, it was Vajpayee, then Modi, and then it will be anybody in the reckoning, it will be a BJP person only, that I can assure you. Now that having been said, let me say what has happened in the politics of DMK. DMK has become like the Mulayam Singh Yadav family of Samajwadi Party in Tamil Nadu. It has become two pillars, Parivar and Bhrashtachar. Either you have to be a corrupt person, 11 out of the 35, 36 ministers are corrupt or facing some serious charges, including Senthil Balaji, or you have to be from the Parivar. And it is not just the Stalin, Udayanidhi or Kanimori family, Alagiri, Then after that, Murasoli Maran, Dayanidhi Maran. Then you have the current finance minister, who's the son of Mr. Thangapandian. You have Durai Murugan's family, who's the son of Kathir Anand. K.N. Nehru and his son Arun Nehru. Arkot Veeraswamy, who's the son of K. Veeraswamy. Similarly, if you see in the Samajwadi Party, Mulayam, Akhilesh, Akhilesh, Dimple, Dimple, Shivpal, Shivpal's wife, Aditya Yadav's son, Ram Gopal Yadav's son, Akshay Yadav, Tej Pratap, then Dharmendra Yadav's wife, then Ram Gopal Yadav's son, then Rampal Yadav's son,
yes.
Anshul Yadav. This kind of family politics, that means all the positions are hognobbed by one family. Is there nobody else in these parties? And okay. Therefore, these are not parties. These are actually parivarik companies.
I'll get the DMK supporter to respond to that. But I think, Shehzad, the point you made about centralization of power, I think that's an important one. Given the fact that in all these regional parties, what's interesting to see is that you have the first families in pole position calling the shots. And I think Lakshmi Ramachandran, would you like to respond to that charge? Because in the Congress, whether it's at the center or in states, you have the first families who are in pole position, who are calling the shots, who are deciding how tickets will be distributed. At the central level, of course, you know, it's the high command, so to speak, but it's really the Gandhi family. And even in states like Haryana, for example, it's a Huda show or out and out.
See, the BJP spokesperson cannot define what dynastic politics is. The last time Gandhi was in a position or in any position in government was when Mr. Rajiv Gandhi was the Prime Minister of India. Since then, it was Dr. Manmohan Singh, it was P.V. Narasimha Rao, Dr. Manmohan Singh were the Prime Ministers, nothing to do with, you know, all of them were first generation politicians who got to call the shots at the top from the, you know, top position of government. Now, coming to this elevation of Mr. Udayanidhi, I want to congratulate the new deputy chief minister as well as the other ministers who have been inducted into the government. See, it is the prerogative of the chief minister to decide who is going to be part of his cabinet. So he has decided, Mr. Udayanidhi, I'm sure because of his role in the party, whatever he's contributed to his party and his track record as a minister, I think he did a very good job as sports and youth minister. You know, he kept the sports scene in Tamil Nadu very vibrant. It was very dynamic. So based on his performance, his contributions to the party, he's been made the chief minister. Okay. And I'm sure, the chief minister would have, the party leader, DMK party leader, would have consulted the senior leaders of his party. So we have nothing to say in this, you know, for the good of Tamil Nadu. We just hope that he performs, he does his job very well. Now, whether this is accepted, this is acceptable to the people of Tamil Nadu, will be decided in the next election. I mean, what is there to hyperventilate about this? Chief Minister has appointed an MLA as Deputy Chief Minister. There is nothing that the BJP spokesperson should hyperventilate about. Let us, you know, just give him a
chance. I don't think it's so much about hyperventilation, but it's also about the health of the democracy of our political parties. I think that's a larger question here. Sandeep ji, would you like to come in on this? What are the larger ramifications of this kind of nepotism, as we see, or dynastic politics across regional parties? What's interesting is that these power centers have emerged, particularly in regional parties.
Virat, you are perfectly right when you make that point. And I think it reflects a fundamental malaise in the Indian party system, the lack of internal democracy within parties where leadership flows down from the senior in a family to a junior in a family. So this is something which afflicts all political parties, I would say. Though, of course, the degree of its intensity would vary. A recent study of young MPs and MLAs has shown that most of them hail from prominent political families. Mm. Whenever you have a new young MP, MLA coming up, the cynical question always asked is, which is the family that he or she belongs to? And this is across political parties. Shehzada ji made a very important point about the distinction that he sought to make between what is happening in the BJP and other parties. But I also would make the point that there are allies within the NDA, be it the Shiv Sena, be it the TDP, or also be it the former ally of the BJP in Haryana, where also the family dynasty continues to be there. So I think this is a malaise which affects all political parties. And I think at the end of the day, the voter in India needs to decide and has decided many times in the past that we are not going to give the stamp of legitimacy to somebody just because he or she has the name of the family. That does not necessarily give them the legitimacy. As you said, at the end of the day, in a democracy, the voter is the one who she will decide or he will decide whether they think the name alone is enough or there is something that there is there in the performance that has to be vindicated also.
I think that's very well put, Sandeepji. And Shehzad, come in on this, because my larger question here also is that, you know, the BJP under Prime Minister Narendra Modi and Home Minister Amit Shah came as this sort of political force that was ready to take down the power structures, the power elite, and sort of against that sort of political entitlement, as it were. So, you know, why accept, you know, people who are products of dynasty in politics, why accept those people in the party? And also, as Sandeepji pointed out, many allies within the BJP, where this sort of practice is something that we see as well.
First of all, once again, let me clarify. The Constitution makes it very clear that everybody, including the son and daughter of ABC, has an equal opportunity to participate in public space and public sphere. That's politics. So there's no way of restricting anybody. But having said that, what we make it a point, and I can only speak for my party, I agree that even in our alliance partners or even in the entire general polity, there are many parties that may have much to be desired. But I, as a national party, expect that national parties at least must take a lead, that they must have an institutional mechanism, a democratic mechanism. Let me tell you why. The BJP has also got a mechanism where there is no reservation of any post for any one family. The BJP does not reserve the president post or the prime minister's post. Come to the Congress party. Madam said that, oh, Manmohan Singh was a prime minister. We all know who ran that government. We all know the arrangement of NAC. I am saying, forget that also. Rahul Gandhi has led the Congress party in three elections, 2014, 2019, 2024. In the same period, Labour Party had also got three leaders. They lost two elections. They finally won the 2024 election. So in Labour Party, you had people quitting after losing. In the case of Rahul Gandhi, 14, he has the worst performance, doesn't quit. 19, he has the second worst performance, doesn't quit. Today, he's had the third worst performance and they are hailing him as if he's the king on, he's the greatest leader in this world. So this is the difference. It is anti-meritocratic, anti-democratic. And on the other hand, Rahul Gandhi preaches democracy to entire country, but there's no democracy within his party. And therefore, as a national party,
Lakshmi
Ramachandran, I am asking the Congress that here is the BJP, 11 leaders in last 40 years. Where is your leadership? One family.
Lakshmi Ramachandran, how would you respond to that? Because this has been said by the Congress, this has been said by the critics of the Congress many a times, that it's ultimately what you call the high command that calls the shots. Shehzad mentioned the National Advisory Council, but even now you see that ultimately in states as well, MLAs pass this resolution that we leave it to the high command to decide who will be the chief minister's face. And the high command effectively is the Gandhi family.
So it's really shocking that the BJP spokesperson doesn't read the newspaper or he doesn't keep himself updated about what is happening in the politics in India, because the current president of the Congress party, Indian National Congress, is Khargeji, Mallikarjun Khargeji. And Mr. Rahul Gandhi, resigned after 2019, but it is the Congress rank and file that does not want him to go away. He is the leader. He is our leader. Mr. Khargeji also says this. So, it is the Congress party that will decide who our leader is. If he wants to be part of this decision making, he should probably join the Congress party. So,
Let me quickly ask a follow-up question and then you can make your point.
Let me quickly ask this question
because I think it's an important point. When you go on the ground, many people, you know, the Congress cadre, as it were, they say that they don't wish to stay in the party because the Gandhi family doesn't want to meet anyone. Rahul Gandhi doesn't want to. That was a sense earlier. So I think it's that point, not just, you know, the fact that you have Mallikarjun Kharge as the president, but of course, Rahul Gandhi is very much your leader.
Absolutely, because, I mean, that is what the rank and the file, that is what the cadres want. I mean, Bharat Jodo was, you know, a mass contact program. You know, our leader went and met the local cadres of the party. He met the, you know, it was the organization that worked with him so that and created, facilitated his contact with the masses. And that is, you know, he's a mass leader. That's the kind of leader that our cadres want, and that is why he is our leader.
One comment.
So, and coming to your question of, you know, the high command deciding who the chief ministers, yes, you know, Congress is a party where there are more than one leader, you know, one prominent leader in every state. It is not like the BJP where Mr. Amit Shah and Mr. Modi decide who the chief minister is, and the chief minister is, you know, some unknown person. Rather, it will be two or three big leaders who have mass support on the ground. And finally,
Shehzad, 30 seconds to you, and also the point that Lakshmi ji made that, you know, the high command in the BJP is just as centralized.
I'm addressing that.
Yes, Shehzad, go ahead, 30 seconds, quickly.
Let me, because you've added a question to this, let me answer your question and then make my point. I'll take it in 30 seconds. Mm. The high command of the BJP, the so-called high command of the BJP, was Vajpayee Advani at one point of time. Then Joshi Advani at another point of time. Then Rajnath Gadkari at another point of time. Today it is Amit Shah and Nadda, and Amit Shah, Nadda, Modi at this point of time.
Okay.
Tomorrow it will be different. There's no institutionalized one family high command. And just 20 seconds. I wanted the 20 seconds for this point. Look, the point I'm trying to make is only this, that I was within the Congress, Madam Lakshmi ji, with due regard to you. And perhaps you should know that Dr. Tharoor himself came out after the so-called elections and said that the election process was rigged with Mr. Kharge.
Yes.
Mr. Kharge himself says ki main to kuch nahi hu, Sonia ji ne banaya hai mujhe. So therefore, ma'am, I did not interrupt.
So I think that's an interesting point as well.
No need,
but let me get in some perspective. Sandeep Shastri ji has been waiting very patiently. Sandeep ji, quickly some perspective on how do voters react to this? Because many a times, Shehzad, let other panelists make their point as well. Sandeep ji, you know, how do voters react to this? Because many a times we have seen that there is a lot of trust that these so-called first families also enjoy as far as voters are concerned.
Virat, there have been examples in the past that the family name did not help. People looked at what are you doing on the ground. And this is also true for a lot of leaders who inherited their father's or mother's legacy. They have been defeated because the people felt that there is nothing that they are contributing. And Virat, I also believe that the current generation of voters, all those who are below 35 years of age, these are voters who do not take the name alone seriously when deciding whom they would like to vote for. They are looking at performance. They are looking at credibility. The name may give you a head start, but the name does not take you to the end of the race. So I think today's voter is very clear that I will not only go by the name.
Okay, I think that's a very interesting point you're making. But the DMK supporters also with us. The last, I've just had 30 seconds on the debate. Harish, what role do you see or the DMK cadre, the DMK supporters see Uday Nidhi Stalin assuming? Many point out that he could be the chief minister's face as well in the 2026 polls.
No, not at all. That is a long aspirations as of now. And he has delivered whatever the thing which has been given to him, whatever the question he has given to him. And when we are speaking about a people representative who has been elected with a thumping majority of 67,000 plus votes, Madam Nirmala Sitaraman, where does Mr. Jaishankar, what dynasty made them to be as a sitting minister for the consecutive terms, even without facing any elections in their lifetime? What you are going to speak about them, What kind of dynasty is that?
I have to come in.
That's an entirely different debate, I'm afraid. But I'm completely running out of time, Shehzad. We'll have many debates to, on this. But I'm afraid I'm completely out of time. Thanks all very much for being with us on the show this evening. Goodbye, and keep watching NDTV.